Get your Bibles again and follow with me in Matthew 13 as we study Christ's parables. We read Christ's teaching of the parable of the tares yesterday after we saw that Christ taught the multitudes in parables, and when the disciples asked him in verse 10, "Why speakest thou unto them in parables?" Christ answered to the disciples, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given." So these parables are teachings by which some understand the kingdom of heaven, and the rest do not understand them. They hear the teaching, they recognize it as God's word, they even proclaim it perhaps as God's word, but they do not understand them. Now that is perhaps the reason why we hear such little preaching on the parables today. Ministers, by and large, are totally unable to make head or tail out of these strange teachings. Now, as we examine this parable of the tares and the wheat, in the light of most of the doctrine taught today in the churches, you'll be able to see better why ministers avoid it, because the simple teaching of the parable itself denies most of what is taught as Christian doctrine today. Let's go back and examine this one, because this one is not only rather long, this parable of the tares and the wheat, but the disciples came to Christ and asked him to explain it, so Christ explained it. So we have both the parable and an explanation of the parable here in this one chapter in Matthew 13. Again, the parable very simply tells that a man sowed good seed in his field, and while he slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat. I should explain for my non-farmer listeners that tares are considered a weed because they have practically no food value, but they do grow up like the wheat. In fact, they look a lot like the wheat, and they use the nutrients of the ground as much as the wheat, but at harvest time, there is nothing there. In fact, the tares have to be separated from the wheat in order to get good seed for the granary. So Christ is giving this parable in relation to what anyone would know who knows something about farming, or at least they could understand it if someone told them what the tares were. Then they would have a comparison to make between the tares and the wheat. All right, before we study the other parables, on following this one, let us go down to Christ's explanation of the parable of the tares and the wheat. We'll read that verse by verse and study it in relation to what Christ said and the parable itself and show you what it means. In verse 36, we find after this parable and two others, Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, "Declare or explain unto us the parable of the tares of the field." Now, as we read Christ's explanation of this parable, remember, this is a parable that Christ begins by saying, "The kingdom of heaven is likened unto." So, this must explain the kingdom of heaven, and Christ had already told the disciples that he taught these parables because the disciples had been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Now, if we can make good sense out of this parable, then we can understand the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Here is Christ's explanation of his own parable. Verse 37 of Matthew 13. He answered and said unto them, "He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man." This would be Christ, and this would be God. Remember, Christ is God in the flesh. Let's not make confusion at the beginning of this by trying to make two gods out of one God. So this is Jehovah Christ, the Son of Man. Verse 38, "The field is the world. The field is the world." And if you miss that phrase, I suppose you could read all of the rest of it and not understand a thing about the kingdom. Now today, most preaching out of the verses and chapters that have to do with where you will spend your eternity and where you will receive your reward are to the effect that you're going to go to some far-off heaven, and there is where you are going to spend eternity. Now, Jesus Christ, in his own simple explanation of his parable, says this is a parable of the kingdom of heaven, and he gives its location in the world. The field is the world. So both of these kinds of seed that are in the kingdom of heaven are sowed in the world. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. What you would have is two kinds of people. One would be the children of God, and one would be the children of the devil. Verse 39 states that more specifically. The enemy that sowed them, in other words, the enemy that sowed the tares, is the devil. And they are called, according to Jesus' own explanation, the children of the wicked one, or the children of the devil. So at the very beginning of this explanation of the kingdom of heaven, we find in this kingdom both the children of God and the children of the devil. Now this cannot possibly be the heaven of the fundamentalists. This must be something else, and it must of necessity be here on the earth. Let's read on. The harvest is the end of the world. Now he told us in the parable itself, they were not to disturb the tares. He said in verse 39, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them, let both grow together until the harvest. Now that is the instruction of the man which sowed good seed in his field. In the first telling of this parable, remember he did not identify the man as the Son of Man, he just said the man, and it was through this same sower that the angels went. So, as he explains in the verse 37 through 43, it must be Christ saying, do not root up the tares until the time of the harvest. Verse 39 in the explanation, the harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man, in other words, this person, this man of the parable, who sowed the good seed, are the children of the kingdom. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity. Now, again, not only have we found that this kingdom is in the world, we have found that there are children of God and children of devil in the kingdom, and the gathering at the time of the harvest is not the gathering of the wheat. The tares are gathered first. And, of course, that gives the lie to this fantastic doctrine of the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. That doctrine has taken hold of the imaginations and beliefs of millions of misguided, foolish people. They have been told by thousands of preachers, well, at the end of the age, Christ is going to come, and he's going to take his Christians off to heaven, and he's going to turn the world over to the Antichrist and the wicked one. Well, here is a parable, the plain reading, the plain explanation, and the plain understanding of which tells us that the gathering of the wicked is going to take place before the gathering of the righteous. And not only that, the wicked are going to be gathered out of the kingdom. Of course, these parables, as I say, give the truth of God's word. It gives the truth of what we see on the earth today. It gives the truth to the Anglo-Saxon identity of the house of Israel, because here on this North American continent and in the rest of Christendom, we find the children of God being corrupted and deceived by the wicked ones, whom Christ calls here the children of the devil, or the children of the wicked one. Let's read on where he talks about the gathering. They shall gather out of his kingdom all things which offend, and them which do iniquity. and shall cast them into a furnace of fire, there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then, or in other words, after the wicked are gathered out, then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father, who had ears to hear, let him hear. Now this is Jesus' own explanation of his own parable to the disciples. It's not hard to understand. It is simple. This is the parable, by the way, and I think I've told this story on the radio before. Because of a certain incident that happened about 2 years ago, I decided to take one of the men from my church and call on one of the better-known Pentecostal preachers here in the city of Phoenix. He has been and still is preaching the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. And I decided that because of some things he had said, I would go to him personally, attempt to show him where he was wrong, and then, of course, whatever he continued to do, that was his own problem. We made an appointment and went to his office, sat down, and I began to explain to him why I did not believe, and the Bible did not teach, a removal of the Christians off from the earth prior to any great tribulation. And I hardly got those words out of my mouth, and this Pentecostal, rapture-preaching teacher says, well, according to Christ, the tares are going to be gathered first, aren't they? And I, of course, just stared at him. I looked at him in shocked amazement. Here is a man who publicly and from his pulpit has taught for years that the Christians are going to be removed first. And when I go in to try to set him aright, I find out he knows the truth. I have a man from my church who can witness to that. In the further conversation, he in effect told us that the reason he taught the pre-tribulation rapture of the church was because everybody was teaching it, and it did get people to thinking about the end of the age and got them in the church and got them saved. Well, of course, that is nonsense. You do not save Christians by false doctrine. But the most amazing part of that was that this man knows his teaching is false doctrine, and that was about 3 years ago, or 2 years ago at least, and he still teaches that same false doctrine. This is Pastor Sheldon Emery. We will consider some of the other parables in Matthew 13 tomorrow, Lord willing, and we'll see how they fit right exactly with the parable of the tares and the wheat. Until then, goodbye. God bless you and Christian America.